And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot beat. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. Ever, ever, ever. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
And we're live.
Good morning and welcome everyone tuning in from wherever you're watching. It's September 24th, 2022. Welcome to the Saturday edition of the Great Steak Breakfast, episode number one. I'm Roan. Noah's here.
Yo.
And Alan Jacoby, the host of the Great Divide podcast, is with us as well.
Hey, hey, hey.
Before we get started, though, let's touch on a little bit of the small American businesses and how we can make them great again, namely MyPillow. Mike Lindell, probably the best sleepwear salesman in the world, dropping pillows on everybody from those who can't get a good night's sleep to feds. You can check out, you get big, big savings.
Use that instead of promo code FBI.
There you go. MyPillow.com/steak. If you're more of a morning person and don't really need the pillows, they got the My Coffee now. MyStore.com/steak will get you 25% off there as well. In addition to that, we've got the Patriot Cigar Company. They're live. And yeah.
Yeah. When do we get to try that out?
Yours are in the mail, actually, as of, I think, yesterday they went out.
Nice.
Oh, that's extremely exciting. And
smoking soon.
Alan's new company right now, he's got us. You enter promo code steak there, you're going to get 15% off. This is premium handmade cigars. Long filler tobacco. It's aged at least 3 years. Free shipping on orders over $100. Every cigar box comes with a $10 e-gift card on your next purchase. MyPatriotCigars.com is the website, a premium smoke for freedom-loving patriots. Everyone, welcome. This is the Great Steak Breakfast, and here we go. First live show for us. Alan, you do about 40 of them a week, so this is we'll see how it goes. How's everybody doing?
Well, I think we got a bunch of people watching in all the chats. I think people are going to enjoy us on Saturday mornings. Get your nice cup of coffee. You're going to relax. The chats are open, people. Tell us where you're from. We all watching. You know, you got a good point. We'll bring it up. Ronan, Noah, if you guys don't listen to the Steak for Breakfast podcast, you're completely missing out. They're not video, hence our Mr. Steak, which is their mascot with the one and only Donald Trump that you see on the screen. They like to be incognito, but their show, which Apple Podcasts, you got to go to Steak for Breakfast, and you have to, they have their book of guests are unbelievable, from Cash Patel, which, by the way, you see, guys, I got my Fighting with Cash hoodie on.
Nice.
I'm wearing today. You guys have Liz Harrington on, Christina Bob. I mean, the who's who in the Trump administration. People, you got to watch Steak for Breakfast. And I'm listening to Steak for Breakfast, recorded audio podcast. I'm used to doing my lives now, so it's a little different. But you guys are going to get into the lives, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I think this is going to be a great, great show on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, you can watch our logo on the Roku channel when we have our shows.
Just have it playing in the background. That's right. So we're on Getter. We're live on Getter. We're live on Facebook. We're live on Rumble. We're live on Cloud Hub. We're live on YouTube. Who knows how long we're going to stay on YouTube? Mm. And we are live, obviously, on the Patriot Podcast Network, exclusively on Roku TV.
I like it. And no, this is good. We're diversifying a little bit. We jumped on Mike Crispy's show this week, Unafraid. It was good to you know, go get him getting his show launched. And like Alan said, we have shows that drop twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. They are pre-recorded, but it's day of. Everything's new in the news. And our long list of Black Book participants, it's taken years of begging to get that Black Book together, and, mm-hmm. and even more begging to keep it intact, because everybody wants to harvest our guests. But no, we do a little bit of politics, and you know, we're going to get everybody's weekend kicked off right here today. So I know you guys have seen it over the last, you know, couple days. The New York State Attorney General, former failed gubernatorial candidate and career grifter Letitia James, issued a civil lawsuit to Donald Trump and his three adult children, Eric, Don Jr. and Ivanka, I believe on Wednesday, suing the family for $250 million. They also included two top financial aides for Donald Trump in that lawsuit. And the meat and potatoes is they kind of want to bar him from doing any kind of business in the city of New York related to anything Trump for at least 5 years, in addition to paying that hefty, hefty civil fine. We had Kash Patel on our show yesterday, and he kind of broke it down as a former federal prosecutor and said, this is a lot of smoke, not anything that's probably going to stick. I think if we could all circle back and remember what happened to Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels when they tried to do something similar to this, not only did they lose their civil case in court, but they wound up getting sued in turn by Trump World and had to pay all the legal fees on top of it. In addition to that, he went to jail for like all the bad shit he did.
Got him.
But he was the best first failed Democrat prospect candidate for president that CNN crowned, you know, on the back of that lawsuit. So they're kind of doing the same thing with Letitia James. And I don't know. She ran a campaign basically on this, saying where she was going to make his life miserable. You could look her up on TikTok or on Twitter and just find videos of her like dancing at the club, campaigning at rallies, talking about her sole intention is to get Donald Trump. And I just don't think it's going to stick. What do you think, Noah?
She got nothing.
This is all political theater. I mean, just like you mentioned with the attorney, I can never say his last name right. The Stormy Daniels attorney, who I think he's has to pay her back almost $150,000. And like you said, Ron, CNN and all the left wing media said that this was the man who was going to take down Donald Trump, that Donald Trump was terrified of him. And of course, Letitia James, the same thing. Her whole running platform was, I am going to take down Donald Trump. Donald Trump will know my name. I will be a thorn in his side. And then she stands behind that podium. And I don't know if you watched that press conference at all. She was all, you know, trying to be serious, using the buzzwords fraud, illegal, criminality, to make it seem like this is a big attorney general investigation criminally, when people are not realizing, well, rational thinking people are realizing, but the Democratic base is, look, criminal investigation. They're going after him. It's a civil lawsuit, people. It's civil. And they keep using these buzzwords. And again, it couldn't come at the, you know, at a better time. And they're doing it. They're going after everybody now. Like I mentioned on a text message to you, Ron, about J.R. Majewski the last couple of days. They're going after everyone because the Democrats' policies suck. They have nothing to run on. They smear. They seek and try to destroy their enemies because they have nothing else.
Yeah, it's the same thing we saw over the last couple of days. John Gibbs is also, you know, under the they're saying that he worked at a think tank that wasn't progressive enough. It like minimized the women in politics and women in leadership roles. That was like one of the angles of their like charter, you know, constitution. And, you know, it makes them a complete sexist, misogynist. All this.
That sounds like a reach.
John Gibbs is the nicest person you will ever meet in your life. And anyone who has Jesus pieces out there watching today, his will beat you by a lot.
Oh yeah. Shiny.
So and big, very big. So, and he doesn't, it's just one of those, you know, they're winning races in flippable house seats when they start pulling out stuff like this. I think case of J.R. Majewski is going to be like a fine print. He probably said this, but actually meant that. And I think it's going to be the same thing with John Gibbs. Like, you know, that guy was completely vetted by Congress and was appointed by Trump to work in HUD for 4 years, which he did with literally no problem. So I don't see him running for a congressional House seat having any indifference there.
Yeah, it's just all mudslinging at this point. If they think they can get, you know, just a leg up on the competition by talking shit, they're just gonna go for it all out.
Although in the beginning, this election is starting to look a lot like 1994 and the Newt Gingrich led conservative revival that we'll talk about a little bit later. But I do want to stay on this real quick. I did pull a quick clip from that Letitia James press conference that Alan was just talking about. Let's hear her kind of give a little bit of the parameters of it.
We are asking the court again to permanently bar Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, Eric Trump, Ivanka Trump from serving as an officer or director in any corporation or similar business entity registered or licensed in New York State.
She's like an Obama Harris.
We're barring mix. Mr. Trump from entering into any New York State commercial real estate acquisition for 5 years. We are barring Mr. Trump and the Trump Organization from applying for any loans from any financial institution registered with the New York Department of Financial Services for 5 years. We are requiring Mr. Trump and the Trump Organization to disgorge the financial benefits obtained through the persistent fraudulent practices, an estimated baseline at the minimum of $250 million.
Feel free to hit her anytime.
And
you want.
To an appointment minimum independent monitor at the Trump Organization.
Mr. Garrison.
Financial reporting, evaluations, and disclosures to lenders, insurers, and tax authorities for no less than 5 years. Mm. Mm. We are requiring the Trump Organization to prepare on an annual basis for the next 5 years a GAAP, a generally accepted accounting practices compliant audited statement of financial condition showing Mr. Trump's net worth to be distributed to all the recipients of his prior statements of financial condition. To replace the current trustees of the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust with new independent trustees, or require similar independent governance if a new trust is created, and to permanently bar Alan Weisselberg and Jeffrey McConney from serving in the financial control of any New York corporation.
Ooh.
And lastly,
you're letting her off.
Cancel any certificate filed under and by virtue of the provisions of Section 130 of the General Business Law for the corporate entities named as defendants and any other entity controlled by or beneficially owned by Donald Trump, which participated in or benefited from the ongoing financial scheme.
Oh.
In other words, permanently prohibit any
this
of
is
the companies
such a joke.
From doing business in the state of New York.
Let's seek and destroy our political opposition because jealousy is such a bad, bad disease. Come on.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. The October surprise was going to be the Mar-a-Lago raid and whatever false, you know, narratives they were going to build on that, right? We can all pretty much agree that when Trump won the case of the special master that got appointed, the first thing he did when he looked at the totality of things that the Justice Department wanted examined for clarification, he said, best I could do is November 30th. So, of course, everybody up on Capitol Hill was like, oh, come on. That's like a month after the election is over. So now we can't use it against Trump. Now we're going to have to start leaking. So now you'll see sources close to the special master have reported being leaked to the New York Times, to the Washington Post. And we're going to start seeing that stuff. We need to do the Simpsons meme. No, you got to get on this one. Days since Trump is finished and just having him replace it.
Oh, no.
Every single day for the entirety since he came down the golden escalator at Trump Tower. And I don't know. That was a awful presentation wrapped around. Seems like I've listened to it like 5 times now, even more of a reach. And when she's citing certain codes and you're thinking like one of the biggest, you know,
the whole thing just made me get totally disgorged.
Yeah. Corporate builders in the world has not been operating within the fine lines of the gray area of every single loophole, whether it be like taxes or what you're getting for, you know, when you sign up to be part of the Trump Corporation and stuff like that. Even Donald Trump said it. He's like, he wrote this long ass thing, shit posting her, and then said, you know, like, read the fine print. And it probably says like, hey, the numbers we tell you might not be the actual numbers, but that's the way business works and everything's fluid. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm using layman terms there, but
at this point, why wouldn't he just take all of his business interests as far as corporation filings and or out of New York and either and transfer him to Florida, or, you know, I think he has a legal residence in New Jersey too. Just cut ties with New York totally. I mean, obviously it's not going to stop or mitigate a lawsuit filed against him, but they, because of course they're probably going to get some sick Democrat judge overseeing this case. It's going to be a complete political witch hunt and slaughtering against Donald Trump. I mean, do you guys think this, there's a chance that this lawsuit will be dismissed, or you think at some point he'll end up having to pay something because of just the politics involved?
You know, if they're not going to, if they weren't able to get him for Trump stakes and Trump University, they're definitely not getting it for his corporate buildmanship throughout the course of New York. And that point you made, Alan, about why doesn't he just pick up and leave? You know, Donald Trump's dad had a lot to do with building a decent part of that skyline there.
Yeah.
Over in Greater Queens and in parts of Manhattan, you know, as part of his business ventures. And there's probably a part of him that says, I shouldn't have to get kicked out of my home because of how radically progressive it's gotten over the last couple decades. And
yeah,
I'm sure a big part of him not picking up and leaving New York and even just moving it over to North Jersey, where Bedminster is, has to do with stubbornness on his end. But it's justified in my, in, you know, the way I see it. So I don't think that it's something that you know, he should have to do just because Orange Man bad. And,
right.
You know, listen, here's the logistics of it. Lee Zeldin has moved within the margin of error in the governor's race there before yes. any debates at all, if they're going to have one. And you have the guy who's challenging Letitia James for the New York Attorney General. A shock poll came out yesterday that showed him up by 2.5 points. And that's outside of the margin of error, which means he might be actually leading by a lot more. Remember, every poll for governors, senators, and House representatives and the president since 2016 have been off on average by about 7 to 9 points. So when they say someone's losing by some ridiculous margin, or they're just winning or just losing, you got to think there's a big, you know, component of that poll that's not actually in there.
Right.
Those are the real numbers.
You mentioned, Roan, about Lee Zeldin and Hochul about a debate. Now, she had accepted, I believe, and said to have one debate. And I think it's after voting has started, but now I think the Daily News and the Post was reporting yesterday that Zeldin's now rejecting the bid to just have one debate because he wants more.
He wants three.
He wants three, right. So it doesn't sound like they're going to have one. They can't come to an agreement, which I think is they should at least have one. I mean, I want to see these two go at it. Just – he will destroy her, and it'll be disappointing if they don't. And even Lee Zeldin, I would hope that he changes his mind and says, all right, we're just going to have the one. We're around the corner from the election, and I think it needs to happen. It's amazing. Well, why are these people so against having debates? I mean, you know, look at what's his name? Fetterwoman over in Pennsylvania. It blows my mind.
I don't think that guy could string together a complete sentence.
Well, you guys did see what the debate they've agreed on is. We've talked about it on our show. Oh, yeah,
he's
going
to get everything in advance, and he's going to be able to read it on the screen.
So they're going to have 260. Well, first of all, they agreed. Everyone from the moderators to Dr. Oz to all the newspapers wanted it to be a 90-minute debate.
Right.
And John Fetterman's team said absolutely not. So they finally agreed to 60 minutes. But here's the thing. They want two practice debates with no cameras first. And during the live debate, he's going to get extra time to get his answers. And he's going to have live in debate, not teleprompter. What is it? Like closed captioning provided for him. So he can
they're going to just feed him what to say.
So not only does he get longer, to answer, but they agreed on a shorter amount of time, which means like you're not going to be able to cover the myriad of things that probably need to get covered during that debate. So you're looking at maybe like five topics total in the course of 60 minutes with all the, you know, concessions they're making for him. But yeah, you have to think that still favors Dr. Oz.
Yeah, it's still going to make that guy look like a total asshat.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of, I mean, the most national significant race this year is probably the Arizona gubernatorial race, and they're not having a debate. That's probably the most nationally known race in the entire country out of all the other races, House, anything. Carrie Lake versus Katie Hobbs, and she has refused and said she's not going to do it. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. It's a new ploy to, because, I mean, if you're on the Democrat side, if you're an incumbent, all you're going to do is get read the receipts of your voting record against this progressive agenda that's completely tanked this country.
Right.
It's challenger versus challenger. Instead of having a voter record, they're going to say, okay, here's what I'm bringing to the table. Where do you stand with like Joe Biden's policies? And you have to answer. You know what I'm saying? So either way, you're screwed. So I think in some races, it's just a formality. And in others, it's a thing where you have to debate. But some states have just voted. Like if the campaigns or whatever can't agree on it, then you don't have to do it. And I think it's just total garbage.
I don't understand just how they think this looks good. We're refusing to debate someone who's challenging you, who's out there every day in the media destroying you, and you're going to sit back and just not debate. I don't understand how smart Americans think that this is okay.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Well, it's like we're places where you have real choice voting. You know, we saw it get implemented in Maine a couple of years ago, and people have kind of raised concerns about it. But everybody's like, oh, it's just Maine, and it's just not really affecting anything. They're all crazy up there anyways. Now we've seen it last year added to the, you know, way they do voting in Alaska. Right. And it passed by an incredibly small margin. And I went back and read through all of the literature that was passed out throughout the course of the season when it was on the ballot. And the literature is extremely confusing. If you read it from either side, it makes it sound like no matter what happens, your person's going to win, which is what everybody pretty much thought, even though it only passed by 1.12% on election day last cycle. And now we got into this, you know, open seat for Don Young and special election in Alaska. You had three people on the Republican side, total 62% of the total vote. Sarah Palin be the top Republican there. She won, you know, the Republican ticket by 6%, 36% total. And then you had someone on the Democrat side who had six or like less than Sarah Palin. She lost in total votes to Sarah Palin, and she becomes, you know, the House seat in the special election, a seat that was held by Republicans for 40 years, just because the Republicans got split three ways. Yeah. And, you know, moving forward, we have a general election race. So that person, the Democrat, sits in the House for, you know, between now and November. And then they're going to, it's kind of like the same case with Maya Flores down in Texas 34. And they're going to vote again in November for it. But the fact of the matter is that the second place Republican challenger didn't drop off. She had like a deadline of a week and a half ago, and he refused to. So now you're running into the same situation. You're going to have the Democrat incumbent running against two Republicans splitting their own ticket. And if something doesn't happen, then it looks like the Republicans might lose a seat in Alaska to a Democrat that they've held for 40
years. How does that even happen?
That's wild.
Manipulative literature into getting it on the ballot. I'm telling you, I went and read it, and they have like all charts and boxes, and they're like, oh yeah, this makes it so your candidate can't lose. You know, it was a stopgap because they saw Donald Trump coming for Lisa Murkowski. And it's not going to factor in as much in the Senate seat, but if the other person on the Republican ticket even takes like 1 or 2% away, it might affect the overall outcome of that election. And, you know, she very well may retain that seat, and Kelly Chewbacca will not be able to primary her and get her out of there. So
it's wild. I think, you know, what do you think, Ron, overall about the House seats, flipping them from blue to red overall? Because I was on the phone with somebody who had run for office yesterday, actually. I'm going to not say his name right now because of the things, some of the things we talked about, but he had said that Kevin McCarthy is running scared, thinking that they were going to flip upwards of 40 seats, and now they think they're only going to be able to flip 15 to 20 seats, and that they're trying to pool their resources into certain candidates that they want to back.
That's kind of like a broken narrative, yes and no, from what I've heard personally and from people who are directly connected to like the innermost Trump world orbit. Yeah. So right now we're sitting at 222-208 Democrat with five vacant seats. I identify in my midterm election pronouns as 245, 53, and 35. And that's House, Senate, and gubernatorial there. That's what I see as my absolute basements, as low as I'll go. I think it's a combination of multiple things. You know, all the stuff that Joe Biden's ramped up lately, ultra MAGA, and then like that speech in Independence Hall. And then you had like, you know, him just kind of demonizing that voter base. I think the legacy media was able to run with that narrative and in turn go and try to take it as like, hey, we could just start telling everybody that the red wave's not coming anymore. Actually, there's a blue wave coming. And you know, we could kind of, to even more so, demoralize or intimidate the base to not get out. And but when you look at the actual numbers, you've seen a lot of these major races tighten. You see like all five of the Trump endorsed major Senate seats, Masters, Laxalt, Walker, Vance, and Oz, all right there, either leading or just within the margin of error. Then you see states that usually aren't in play, like Connecticut and New Hampshire, now up for grabs. I think that's pretty incredible. In some of these governor races right now, obviously, Carrie Lake and Doug Mastriano are the gold standards, but you have Ronchetti able possibly flipping a seat in New Mexico and turning that Republican. They're saying Tudor Dixon and Dan Cox are both losing by large margins, but they both primaried pretty strong. Dan Cox primaried the incumbent governor there. So now they're saying this guy who he's running up against, is he's losing in double digits. I just can't believe that.
Right.
And, you know, when it comes to the House seat, it just depends on how hard we hit this now. I think Donald Trump getting out and rallying and having like two rallies a weekend moving forward here, he's probably going to be doing Fridays and Saturdays or Fridays and Sundays moving forward. It's one of the things he's going to have to carry a lot of these tickets over the finish line himself, which is a shame because of the weakness of Kevin McCarthy. But they did have that meeting at Trump Golf Course in D.C. a couple weeks ago. They golfed 18 holes with no golf clubs. It was in the rain, and it was Trump, his two sons, Sean Hannity, Devin Nunes, Kevin McCarthy, Dan Scavino, and a couple other people. And from what I've been able to get very minor details out of that meeting, and he's pretty much kept it quiet, he pretty much read them the riot act of what some of the concerns are. How are we letting them control the narrative when the country looks like this? And basically telling Kevin McCarthy, this is your absolute fucking last chance. Like, I've already endorsed Rick Scott to kind of take the lead in the Senate, and we're going to get Mitch McConnell out of there. You're obviously the minority leader. Everybody knows you want Speaker of the House. I'd rather not create more division. We're going to run with this. And then you see a week and a half after that freaking meeting out at Trump Golf in D.C., Kevin McCarthy announces the Commitment to America plan, something that mirrors what Newt Gingrich did, that promise to America back in 1994. So may not be all the people we want, but these are the people we have to work with. We also saw this week, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but there's a new super PAC that's been absolutely loading a war chest for like the last year. They kind of kept it under the radar, and Donald Trump is set to unveil it first week of October. It's called MAGA Inc. And what he's going to be doing is wherever there's cases like Mitch McConnell removing money or not funding enough to some of these Senate races and some of the governors that need help out in the Republican Party, Donald Trump's going to be just dumping tens of millions of dollars into their races here down the home stretch right now. So that's kind of like going to be their October surprise and secret weapon.
Well, it's funny you say that, because also with this J.R. Majewski drama where they're attacking him about his military service. I mean, he served in the military. He goes through the whole thing. He has the receipts. You know, he was in Afghanistan, I believe it was 2002, right before he was gone before the medal was issued. I don't know how all that stuff works. And he did a press conference. People are going to bat for him. Not enough people. People that he apparently he's getting text messages from members of Congress saying, I'm still behind you, but they're not coming out publicly for him. And Kevin McCarthy pulled $1 million from of advertising from him. So, and he's Trump endorsed. So I'm wondering if this is going to be an example of that. Although I didn't hear Trump make any remarks about what's going on with that yet, if he's going to. And I publicly came out on social media and said that I'm standing behind J.R. Majewski. I think he's a true America First patriot. And I believe that his, 40-year opponent, she who has done nothing in Congress, and her party, and along with some rhino Republicans, are taking shots at J.R. as well as others, because we know politics is the seediest business around.
Right.
And it's not going to stop. It's just going to get worse. And we have to weed out all the bullshit. But it's amazing on how these people, they hear an accusation that has no base, and they run with it and attack. You know, there's also rumors that they're paying people to attack him on social media to a point where it's unbearable. And some people have been doing that. But he hasn't missed a step. And he's been, you know, he's very active on social media. I mean, he's on a lot of my live chats when I do live shows, you know, throwing comments in. He's heavily engaged. And I think he just had a kick-ass fundraiser. And I wanted to bring him up because my 100% support is behind J.R. Majewski. And anybody out there should look him up and donate, because now the rhino establishment, the cowards like Kevin McCarthy, are turning their back over baseless accusations. And that to me just shows another example of willful sabotage that the establishment Republicans are doing to their own heading into the midterms, because again, I don't think Kevin McCarthy wants all of these America First candidates to be members of Congress. That's just my opinion.
No, we kind of feel the same way. You know, it's a developing story, and it's good to see some of the receipts produced. I mean, J.R. Majewski and Max Miller will have an Ohio First edition of the show on October 4th. They'll both be in on that day, and we'll be hyping up their campaigns as they're getting ready to hit the home stretch here. And you know what? Regardless, whether it's like, you know, there was some false information, or it was miscommunicated and the media spun it, or it was just a thing where they've completely fabricated the story, which is probably the most likely option of what it is, because the guy seems like a pretty genuine dude. I mean, Donald Trump does some pretty good vetting, and he had him up on stage to speak, albeit a little drunk, at the Trump rally last weekend. You know, it's one of those things.
If that doesn't prove you're in the military, I don't know what does.
Exactly. That the beard, I mean, all he needed was his papers to show everybody that, you know, he had served, and then you'd be good to go. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're going to see some really bad things come out between now and, you know, the day we head to the ballot box, because a lot of their larger plans, the Mar-a-Lago raid, the stuff with the implementation of the special masters, now this Letitia James distraction. I don't know if you guys heard, but there was a rally last night in North Carolina. You'll never also believe this one. Donald Trump broke the all-time attendance record. There were thousands of people outside. It was great watching Christina Bob work her magic in the pregame show on Right Side Broadcasting. And Letitia James gave Donald Trump just enough time to kind of answer the call a little bit, the same way he did with the FBI and the DOJ in regards to the Mar-a-Lago raid. I ripped a small clip from that. Let's hear him crap on her a little bit.
Yeah.
So we have a document, hoax. They're talking about me with documents, and then they go back over the last five presidents. You take a look at that hoax. There's no better example of the left's chilling obsession with targeting political opponents than the baseless, abusive, and depraved lawsuit against me, my family, my company, by the racist Attorney General of New York State.
That's the truth.
Peekaboo James. This raging maniac campaigned for office ranting and raving about her goal. Her only goal is, we got to get Donald Trump. We got to get him. She knew nothing about me. I never heard of her.
True story.
In fact, I was watching it and I said, boy, that woman's angry. I don't think she likes me too much. Well, without having any evidence, she knew nothing about me. Before she had even begun her phony investigation, she went around boasting her plan to weaponize her office against me, probably working with the federal government, of course.
Imagine that.
Declaring, I look forward to going into office of Attorney General, New York State, every single day and suing him. I'm going to sue him. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to be so happy because I sued him.
Oh, my.
No, he's just ramping it up a little bit. I'm sure he'll be able to work more material in there before he hits it again next weekend.
Where is he next weekend?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. He just did North Carolina. He did Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. I don't know. They already announced it, but man, that was a large crowd there yesterday. Dan Scavino had the drone flying around and the overflow crowd with the screens out front. I mean, Christina Bob went out and was like, this is why you can't not love these events. And she just showed all the people that couldn't even get in. It was an outside rally and they couldn't get in the fences.
Like, it's an outside rally and there's still not enough room.
No.
For all the people that showed up.
Yeah.
Outside.
So, you know who else showed up yesterday on a lot of the cable news shows and the legacy media was Matt Gaetz. Ruling came down from the Justice Department. I'm sure you guys had saw this one, that he is, well, you'll never guess. He's not a child sex trafficker.
No, I thought he was from all the buzz they were slinging.
I saw it on TV.
Yeah, according to the legacy media, he was absolutely finished and going to jail forever. Wait, have we heard that before?
Yeah. So, wait, are we going to jail forever?
Probably. God damn it. But
at some point, they're going to lock us all up. Get in the boxcars.
I mean, what do you guys think? I thought this was quite a large nothing burger when it first came out, and I started to like read into it. And then they started talking about, okay, so here's the thing. Some of his friends in his early congressional days and even pre-Congress, when they were all like running around the law circuit, and he's formally named Pussy Slayer on this show because we've heard stories, but he's a married man now and life's different. So, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, he hung out with some dirtbags, like just some absolute party animals. And if you remember back, like pre-congressional Gaetz, a little bit chubbier, bigger hair.
Yeah.
you know, he probably ran around and did a little bit of slaying on the side. But
well, I mean, art imitates life. Look at any movie about that particular group of people, like how they fucking party, do cocaine, do all sorts of crazy shit. Like, that's just kind of what they did back then.
Yeah.
So they partying in Florida, hookers and blow. I mean, as long as they're of age, there's no problem.
Yeah. And you know what? You got to understand something. We talk about it on the show all the time. The growth process that we've witnessed from someone like Matt Gaetz, who was maybe in his freshman campaign a little bit of an immature congressman, has grown into someone to where he's pretty much on that level, at least speaking wise. Some of the people who write some of his material and give him his talking points to bring up in congressional hearings and committee rivals that of Jim Jordan and Jim Banks and some of the big guns out there. And you have to understand, at his young age, promising future ahead. I think when Rick Scott decides to do whatever he's going to do, Matt Gaetz will probably run for that Senate seat in 2028 or beyond. He jumped on with Boomer Sweat's Sean Hannity last night to take a little bit of a victory lap. I pulled the clip. Let's hear it.
The mob is being forced to eat their own words because they did the very same thing that we warn against regularly on this show, and that is rushing to judgment. The Washington Post now reporting that the Department of Justice is unlikely to charge Florida Congressman Republican Matt Gaetz because, quote, a conviction is unlikely, according to people familiar with the matter. Now, it was also people familiar with the matter who apparently tipped off the Washington Post in the first place last year, sparking a media mob frenzy that tried, convicted, and sentenced Matt Gaetz with no evidence presented of any crimes committed. Here now with reaction, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. I don't know the extent that you want to talk about it or your lawyers want you to talk about it. I remember asking you at the time, is there any truth to it? And you said Hannity, I remember. I've never lied to you. No, there's no truth to any of this.
Vindicated? I continue to proclaim my innocence. I don't know any more than that which is in the Washington Post. I do know that God doesn't ever give us anything that we can't handle. And I'm so grateful to my fellow Americans who've prayed for me, who've shared words of encouragement, and who've said that we got to keep fighting. And when folks told me in the grocery store, at the gas station, to keep fighting, I don't think they really meant for myself. They meant for them. And as we look at the agenda ahead, the oversight and investigations that we have to do, I'm going to play a critical role as a top member of the House Judiciary Committee, where we're going to be driving a lot of oversight and potentially even impeachment. So the news that I saw in the Washington Post was certainly welcome today. Can't say it was all that surprising, but I'm glad to begin the next chapter of my life and my public service. And I'm very grateful to everyone who stuck with me through these kind of bizarre last few months.
And by the way, you recently got married again. Congratulations to you and your bride, Matt Gaetz. Thanks for being with us.
You know, I don't know about you guys. My nipples got hard when he said impeachment. It was plural version of it, because at least on our show, we talk about it. We've lined up Joe Biden, Afghanistan withdrawal, U.S. southern border, yep. Alejandro Mayorkas, U.S. southern border, lying to Congress. And then you have Merrick Garland lying to Congress, weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI. We're seeing all this stuff coming out, everything from the Durham investigation and the Danjenko case, all the way up through things still tied to Russiagate. And of course, the weaponization of the agency and federal law enforcement against the 45th president of the United States. Those are three of the top candidates right there that are up for impeachment come January. And it's going to be a big task ahead of Congress. And it kind of ties into the last thing I brought today, which was we touched on it a little bit, the Kevin McCarthy Commitment to America platform that was kind of rolled out. It's their home stretch plan for what they want to do in the House of Representatives following big wins in the midterm elections. And, you know, they had a little commercial for it, which we played on our show yesterday. But then a large delegation of our Republican Congress members went up to the battleground state of Pennsylvania yesterday. They did Fox and Friends. Then they did the Fox Morning Show with that guy, the Lawrence, who usually goes out to the restaurants and stuff. And they all ate breakfast with constituents, and they played the video for everybody and then kind of got everybody's feelings for it. And, you know, in that state right there where the energy sector has been crushed, you know, the manufacturing and textile huge businesses there that have all been shut down. Crime is rampant. Test scores are down, especially in urban areas. And they you know, kind of got together for like a town hall. Kevin McCarthy summed up his commercial to the audience and then attacked the left. I brought a clip of that. Let's check it out.
To change that course, we do. The Democrats have no plan for the problem they created. If you trust us, hold us accountable. We'll put it out to the entire country. This is what we'll do. But on that very first day that we're sworn in, you'll see that it all changes. Because on our very first bill, we're going to repeal 87,000 IRS agents.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a good start.
And? Our job is to work for you, not go after you. Our job is to make America stronger. We believe America is more than a country. America's an idea. We can secure our border. We could become energy independent, where your price of gas is lower. We can build an education system that has a parent's bill of rights, that you have a say in your kid's education.
I like that too.
And we could be a check and balance on the rein in this government that's going after the individuals. If you believe like us, join with us, because this job won't be easy. We'll get it through the House. We need your help to get it all the way to his desk. You know, the president last night already attacked me in this plan. Maybe if I caused that much damage, I'd try to change the discussion too. But you know what? I welcome it. I challenge the president to join with us. Let's go across the country and let's debate what his policies has done to America and our plan for a new direction. And let's let America make the decision for the best way for this country to go forward. So join with us and thank you for what you're doing.
I like what it sounds. I do. I hope they have the balls to do half the things that they want to do. You know, I'm just not a big fan of Kevin McCarthy. That's just
It's the milquetoast way he comes off. Yeah. I wish it was someone that was a little bit more charismatic. He's so establishment, so K Street, Wall Street, Southern California, the way he talks. It's, you know, not what I want from my leader of the party. But, I mean, who's there now? We don't really have much options. Jim Jordan is a hard no. I don't think Jim Banks is ready. Matt Gaetz is too young. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the answer right now, even though Donald Trump's anointing her to be doing a lot of good stuff in Congress next year. I love some of the stuff she does. But, you know, he mentioned Joe Biden, who was also out on the trail yesterday. He filled a high school auditorium with dozens of listeners and did have a response for Kevin McCarthy. Went off the teleprompter a little bit. I'm not sure if he coughed, but I pulled it. Let's hear what he had to say about it.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy went to Pennsylvania and unveiled on what he calls a commitment to America. That's a thin series of policy goals with little or no detail that he says Republicans are going to pursue if they regain control of the Congress. In the course of nearly an hour, here's a few of the things we didn't hear. We didn't hear him mention the right to choose.
Oh, you should be guaranteed.
We didn't hear him mention Medicare. We didn't hear him mention Social Security.
Oh, shut up.
Look at what Kevin said today. He said Republicans want to, quote, preserve our constitutional freedom. That sounds great. I'm for doing that as well. We all are. But look at what they've actually done. MAGA Republicans just cheered and embraced the first Supreme Court decision in our entire history, the first one in our entire history, that just didn't fail to preserve a constitutional freedom. It actually took away a fundamental right that had been granted by the same court to so many Americans.
No.
And now nearly half the states in the United States of America have either passed a ban on abortion or will shortly.
Good.
In the United States, abortion is already banned even in cases of rape and incest. A fundamental change.
Look at the numbers.
Already 166 House Republicans have signed on to a bill that would ban abortion nationwide. And the senior senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, has proposed a national ban on abortion with criminal penalties put on doctors and put them in jail if they, in fact, violate the ban.
So he leads in with saying they have no plan, even though we just heard Kevin McCarthy talk about reduction in crime, combating the fentanyl epidemic, fixing the school system, securing the border, energy independence, stop unregulated spending, et cetera. There's a lot of other points to this. And then Joe Biden essentially says, you heard what he said. They gave you talking points, but no plan. Well, there's obviously not a plan because that gets debated in the House of Representatives. It'll go to committee. It'll get revised a bunch of times, put into a bill, and eventually sent up to the next chamber. And then he goes on a minute and 30 rant about the Roe v. Wade decision, which is like, listen, the average listener who's not really into
calling policy, that a constitutional right.
And it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It never was.
As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. And I mentioned this on my show. I believe that the Democrats are celebrating and happy that Roe v. Wade was struck down because it has been one of their biggest fundraising talking points. They are now making millions of dollars in fundraising funds to because Roe v. Wade was struck down, and they are embracing it. They're happy it happened, and they're using their buzzwords like rape and incest, where if you look at the numbers of percentages of abortions and people that have them, it's like less than, I think, 7 and 1% respectively, give or take a few points, of rape and incest. And most of the abortions, it was like 90-something percent, are elective because of social issues or finance issues. I mean, you had a Republican, I forget her. I mean, a Democrat, I forget her name, say it, her name, but she was a congresswoman. And she says, well, you know, you have to figure out if you can afford another mouth to feed. So if you can't, so that another Democrat, you know, slogan is, if you can't feed it, kill it. Okay. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it's just all bullshit, nonsense. Joe Biden had no idea what he was saying. He was half reading a teleprompter. He has no clue. And they're just going to keep with this abortion, even with rape and incest. Look at the numbers. That's all they have. They have
nothing else. They have nothing else as a platform. It's like, well, we ruined the country. No, that's not really going to pull well.
We had a party on the front lawn of the White House for the Inflation Non-Reduction Act the day the economy tanked and we lost 5% of all of the wealth in this country.
Yeah, when you put it that way, that kind of looks bad too. Mm-hmm. What else we got?
Border looks good.
No. That's actually really bad. It's not going to go there, though, so that'll be okay.
Geopolitics.
Like global warming? Or?
Well, that too.
Climate change is real, like man-bear pig.
It's climate change now.
So how did you die? Climate change. Sorry.
What happened to global cooling? Wasn't that a thing a while ago?
Donald Trump actually mentioned that at the rally. He said, you know, that was such a BS narrative that they had to switch it to global warming.
I thought the world was going to end already. Like, wasn't the world supposed to end?
It should have been like 4 or 5 times already. We should all be dead or encased in ice.
That's an inconvenient truth.
To Al Gore, that little Swedish girl with autism.
How dare you?
Representative Matt Gaetz actually weighed in on this Commitment to America plan yesterday and slammed portions of it. He went down, he did an exclusive interview with our new friends at the Daily Caller and talked about, you know, one of the things on there where it said the GOP would be subsidizing and influencing the hiring of up to 200,000 new police officers throughout the recruitment process and bonuses nationwide, kind of helping out probably a lot of those historically important inner cities that have all gone to shit over the last, you know, several decades. New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Los Angeles, and all those other, Chicago and New York City, places like that. And he said, so, you know, if you kind of look at this, I don't believe, and I'm paraphrasing for Gaetz here, in the federal government being excessively entangled in state and local law enforcement. It's not practical. I think, you know, that could probably be reworked into something like working with the state and local agencies to make them more marketable and maybe even adding to their funding because, you know, Joe Biden did cut a lot of federal assistance to state and local law enforcement, especially with some of the tools they use to do their job over the course of the last 2 years. So that, you know, it seems like they're unified in getting the message out there. It's just that parts of the message still need to be reworked, according to some of the congressmen and some of the larger voices like Matt Gaetz. I think it'll be okay, though. Alan, don't worry, because for our last audio clip of the weekend, I did pick a good one. And it's Newt Gingrich jumped on Fox News last night, and he wanted to talk about the rollout of this Commitment to America plan. And you know, we talked about it a little bit at the top of the show. Newt was the, you know, Speaker of the House after they took it back for the first time in 40 years in 1994, led a successful impeachment against then President Bill Clinton, and, you know, became one of the strongest speakers of the houses there. He was actually in Washington, D.C. around the time of that Trump golf course meeting with all the rest of the big players that are involved in all this. And a lot of people think that he was doing a lot of one-on-one FaceTime with some of the top Republican House and Senate members, in addition to sitting down with Kevin McCarthy and kind of, you know, getting some of the backbone of this thing laid out. Like we talked about, legacy media and the polls all dooming right now, saying all Republicans aren't winning anymore. And if they're really not winning, that means we have to make up fake scandals about them, like the John Gibbses and the J.R. Majewskis of the world. But Newt's a little bit more of an optimist. Let's hear what he had to say last night.
But Joe Biden said yesterday at a DNC fundraiser, I believe he was still in New York for the UNGA, says if we lose the House and Senate, it changes the trajectory of what we want to do. We got to make this a choice. What's the alternative? Can anybody here tell me what the Republican platform is for? That's what today is all about. What I think is extraordinary about what you accomplished in 1990, Bill Clinton had a tough 24 months to begin his first term. No doubt about that. The rollout of healthcare was a failure. Yep. The media was all over him that first 24 months. But the Republicans had not held the House majority in 40 years. You'd have to go back to 1952 to find that. And I think it's a reminder, you know, our memories are so short, about how long of a stretch it was in Washington for Democrats to control the agenda.
No, I think it was truly historic. It grew out of Reagan. Somebody once said that about 80% of the contract with America was in Reagan's 1985 State of the Union. So in that sense, with welfare reform, balancing the budget, you know, the only four balanced budgets in your lifetime came out of the Republicans in the House.
Yep.
And I think in that sense, we really were consequential. I think what Kevin McCarthy is trying to do, and what I saw yesterday with his members, he's succeeding, is he's laying out a platform for governing, not just a platform for campaigning. And that's what we did. You know, and not only were we the first elected majority in 40 years, we were the first reelected House majority since 1928. And so that was because people saw we kept our word. And I think that McCarthy as Speaker is going to lead his party, as will Steve Scalise, majority leader, and the other members of their leadership team. I think they're going to lead the Republican Party in the House to keep its word and to force Biden to choose. And Biden's right. Look, Fox and Friends just had pictures of this gigantic tent city that's being built in New York
yep.
for people that Biden is letting cross the border illegally. I think the American people want to change a trajectory. They want to stop the murders. They want to stop the rising prices. They want to get back to independence in energy. And I think that the commitment to America that the House Republicans are launching provides exactly the kind of things that the American people would like to replace the current failures with. Truth is, and you know this, the two of you, when you go to the grocery store, you know it ain't working because it's too expensive. Right. I paid $5.05 a gallon for gasoline last Saturday. It ain't working. It's too expensive. You watch the evening news and see the local murder rate. You know it's not working. That's why I think this will be a much bigger Republican tsunami than people currently expect.
There you go.
Oh, I hope so. I really do.
That's someone with a little bit of more expertise in the field than the, you know, average pundit on your legacy media, especially if you're on CNN, because the way they're playing Russian roulette there with those guys, yeah. You know, you said, well, that's true a little bit. And you did see they replaced it with like a Never Trump gal. And then I think Jake Tapper are going to take over that 2 hour spot that they just kicked Don Lemon out. So you're getting like garbage replaced with like shinier garbage.
Ooh, more garbage.
Yeah.
Shinier garbage.
More garbage. I thought CNN was the new CEO was like trying to straighten them out a little bit. Like,
well, I mean, he did a lot of house clearing there. You got Lubin Tubin's gone and Mr. Potato Head's now an adjunct professor at Harvard.
Hmm. Oh, my God.
Don Lemon's been banished to the 5 a.m. news circuit. I guess we beat him in the podcast rankings too many times. Keep his 2 hour primetime spot on CNN.
That hurt.
Smoked by steak for breakfast.
Yeah, and you've had a bunch of top executives, writers, and producers there also booted over the last 6 months. So that's good. But
hold on. What the hell is Brian Stelter teaching at Harvard? Do we know?
Yeah, principles in journalism.
Principles in journalisming. Oh my God, the CNN way. holy shit, we are doomed. It's just it's just getting worse and worse and worse. How many? I imagine sitting in that class and listening to him talk about the big bad orange man, and then like how the all of the right leaning media outlets are liars and evil and domestic promote domestic terrorism and extremism. I can't.
You know, every time he tries to be cool on social media, I just quote his tweet and say, now talk about this one, and put the 2.5 minute video of John Coleman absolutely posterizing him on the news back in the day when he told him that global warming is a sham and it's like the corporate executive ways of like internationally laundering more money than ever imagined. And he needs to get like his shit straight after he cut him off and called him Junior and said, don't ever talk over me ever again.
Oh, Ron, for earlier, I looked it up. So the next Trump rally, the Save America rallies in Warren, Michigan, Saturday, October 1st, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
There you go. That's going to be this coming weekend. It's going to be big. That's this Saturday, and we got a lot of great candidates there. Mm-hmm. John Gibbs, regular on our show. Of course, Tudor Dixon, who's going to be in a heated race with one of the worst governors in the entire country. But she's getting really propped up and getting tons, millions of dollars funneled into that race because she is a potential 2024 at least VP candidate, I think, in my opinion, Gretchen Whitmer. But you got to remember, she killed thousands of people during the pandemic while she went on vacation and her husband laked around on their motorboat. So it's one of those things where you're literally putting hypocrisy on display, and the legacy media is going to go out and tell you she's perfect and she's winning.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Tudor Dixon is the number one mommy of the absolute top of the entire election cycle.
Yeah.
100%.
I want to see your charts and graphs on that.
Oh, is it a pie chart or is it a...
Well, it's got like little mountains. Yeah.
We have our first person jumping in the getter chat.
Okay.
Say hello to Shell.
What's up, Shell?
She also doesn't trust McCarthy. So I think there's a little bit of delay on the getter, but
yeah, we had
McCarthy.
No.
We had in the Facebook chat earlier, we actually had we were busy, but I like to call them out once in a while. Every once in a while we get a good troll. And thanks to all those patriots in the Facebook chat that actually put this idiot in his place, but I'm going to call him out. And I actually added a message on how much we love this guy, James Mullins, because we love the trolls. Mm-hmm. In what bizarre world do you uneducated, dim-witted, inbred rednecks live? Don the Con is idiot, clown, fool, in capital letters, joke, thief, sociopath, pervert, pathological liar, L-I-E-R, he spelt liar, little bastard, coward, five-time draft, Dodger, Hitler, wannabe. Holy geez, this guy just went on a complete head-exploding rant.
Well, that sounds like a acute case of Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, you know what I have to say to that? I guess we don't talk about American greatness enough. We're going to have to continue to... keep talking about American greatness again.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
And there wasn't a whole lot of substance to his argument. No. There was definitely a lot of words.
Yeah. Some of them were mean. I kind of like the tweets that they didn't like.
Right. Right. The mean tweets, orange man bad. And then we had another one. So my guys over at the Motor Cop Chronicles podcast, which is great. They're all motorcycle cops. They follow me. I follow them. They also are, they're apparently also
a strong union.
Yeah, they're awesome. And they were talking about global warming. And he was saying before it was global warming, when that was proof false, they changed the word to climate change. Doesn't it change several times a year? It's called summer, fall, winter, and spring. Yeah, the seasons change every 3 months. Absolutely, right?
Well, there were supposedly heat waves all across the country and the world this year, but I saw a comparative analysis that showed the highs of our summer and then 120 years ago, and the numbers were nearly identical in temperatures.
Yeah. Do you notice what they're doing with the weather maps now, legacy media, how they would change it? Now they're all like red and orange when it's hot. Well, back like a couple of years ago, they weren't like that.
It just used to be numbers, and now they like encode the areas that are warm with like different colors.
Well, no, it's not even that the numbers are different. I posted this a couple of weeks ago, I think, and it was like, whatever year it was, and then closer to this year, and it was literally like off by 1 or 2 degrees. And, it was just a normal looking map with green and everybody's happy. And, oh, it's a little hot over here today. And then the floor is lava.
The fiery pits of hell from climate change. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Well, this wasn't as bad as I thought it could have been. Not the actual content of the show, but just us not having the opportunity for me to say, let's flag that or let's take a break because I have to pee really bad, which I actually do.
There is no editing in live shows. So, but listen, this was a great first. The great steak breakfast on Saturday mornings. I think everybody enjoyed themselves. We had a lot of people watching. And we're going to be back, I think, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. What do you guys think?
I'm down.
Yeah.
We have another person in the chat, January 6th, Pat Mom.
Okay.
Says that at noon today, there's a J6 rally in D.C., Atlanta, and Austin, Texas. Please attend.
Hey, if you have the opportunity and you're not already out working ground game for those America First candidates across the country, get out to D.C. and the other places that Noah mentioned.
Just be really careful with these J6 rallies, especially in D.C. for false flags. I think they're looking to bang people. So you just got to be careful. Just use caution, situational awareness. Be aware of your surroundings and look out for Ray Epps.
The antithesis of Ray Epps, Cynthia Hughes, she'll be on the show with us this week. She's coming back, and she's the Patriot, the January 6th Patriot Foundation, and she's got a nephew that's been locked up pretty much since day one, and she actually spoke at the Trump rally 2 weeks ago. Nice. So Donald Trump called her up on stage, and we connected her to Trump world, and are really proud of that, and we're glad to be having her back with
good.
Unfortunately, probably won't be a good update, but a good message to get out to our listenership.
All right. I think we wrapped up an awesome show, boys. What do you think?
I enjoyed it very, very much. As much as I look forward to our Tuesday and Friday editions of Steak for Breakfast, I'm also going to be looking extra forward to this moving forward.
I like these because I don't have to edit them.
There you go.
Exactly. It's even better. All right. So where's everybody finding Steak for Breakfast?
Oh, you can find us across every downloadable podcasting platform, but we make our fake money because we don't make any money in downloads and subscriptions. iTunes and Spotify is where you could find us. And you could find us on any social media. We're at Steak for Breakfast on True Social. That's our biggest and most engagementful social media there. And if you want to see all the people that you normally see on TV in a much more formal and personable atmosphere with longer interviews and stuff like that, you get on our show. Everybody from Carrie Lake and Cash Patel and everybody in between, you'll find them on our show every week.
That's it. You guys got to check out Steak for Breakfast Podcast, and you all know where to find me. You're on Facebook, Instagram, Truth Social, The Great Divide Podcast. This has been a successful first, the Steak for Breakfast Podcast, and we'll talk to you all next weekend, right?
Sure will.
All right. We'll see you soon.